God's word for our consideration this morning. God's word to nourish us. God's word to strengthen us. God's word that is in our lives is from the gospel lesson this morning, from the gospel according to St. Luke at the 15th chapter, beginning with verse 1 through the end of the chapter. Now, I want you to think about what God has to say for us in this gospel lesson. It seems like the lessons this morning don't really fit the music that we're singing. We're singing kind of somber hymns, even grace unto us. And hymn 555 seems to be kind of, well, not really rejoicing, is it? But the lessons, they don't seem to fit with music. We have in Isaiah, sing to the Lord, rejoice, sing to him. And here in Luke chapter 15, we have a message of love and forgiveness. Because on one hand, you've got one son that demands that father divide his property. And on the other hand, you've got another son who is kind of ticked off at dad because dad didn't give him a party and dad didn't cut him a goat and give him all this food. So you got two sons, two extremes. But you got one message. And the message is love and forgiveness. In the Civil War, a senator, Henderson of Missouri, approached President Lincoln. And he begged President Lincoln to give a pardon for several people in jail because of military things that they did wrong. And so he approached President Lincoln. And Lincoln is reported to say, and the senator pointed out that these men were all guilty. But Lincoln replied, "I have often been charged with making too many mistakes on the side of mercy, but I'll do it just the same." And he wrote pardon on every man's bill. I want you to think about your life. And I want you to think about how horrible you've been. Each and every one of us, you know, we kind of rile when we say iniquities. We kind of say, you know, Lord, it's not really me. I didn't really sin. And then we think about it. And we think about the horrible things that we have done. And we kind of keep it inside us. We don't really want to confess what horrible things we have done, whether it's been to our spouse or to our children, to a coworker, to a friend, a neighbor. We have just been terrible. We've been like the two sons, the two extremes. We've been like the one son who demands his property from his father. The inheritance that is mine, give it to me. You know, there's been signs on these people's RVs that say, "I'm spending my children's inheritance." So they won't get it. Because it causes divisions to happen. When I was pastor at International Falls, I had a funeral for a very devout Christian lady. She raised her family in the church. There were two sisters. They were members of St. Paul's Lutheran Church of International Falls. I had the funeral. And a couple years later, we moved out of town. But we were there, and one sister took over Mom's house. The other sister, who lived just down the block, was in anger because she took over Mom's house. That's not right. Mom promised me this house. Those things do happen. And here, God is showing to us the results that happen. The young man takes his property and he goes off to a far country. And he's going to live life to the fullest. But all of a sudden, all that money drains away. And he's left with nothing. And so he hires himself out. Not to a real good job, but feeding pigs for a farmer. And feeling terrible. And now he feels, I've got to go home and confess this sin, and Dad hopefully will look on me with favor and hire me as one of his servants, and I'll be living comfortably. And so, amazing grace happens. He comes home, and the father welcomes him. But on the same accord, here's this other son. And we've been like that other son. We really have. When good things happen to somebody else, the other son, we get upset. We get all riled up because we haven't been treated exactly the same way. And so they committed that sin and they come back together. And God's love enters the life of the one son, the younger son who left with all the property. And God's amazing grace happens there when father and son are reunited. But then the other son happens and gets all angry with Dad and says, you know, you haven't let me party. And Dad says, all that I have is going to be yours. But here is this son of yours. This son of mine came back. And we should celebrate. So what happens? We have a church member who leaves. And he's going to be living on his own. He doesn't want to have anything to do with the church. But all of a sudden, he comes back. And he's forgiven of all his sins. When I was pastor in Mapleton, I was installed as pastor on first Sunday in June of 1999. And that one Sunday, when I was installed, there was a member of the church that came to my installation. My secretary told me the next day, she said, you could have blown me over with a feather when Dale entered this church. He's been gone so long. They welcomed him back. God welcomed him back and bestowed upon him his grace, his mercy, and his forgiving love. Dale was not in the best of health. Dale was sick. He was a veteran, and he would enter the veterans hospital in Omaha, and he was there more than he was at home. But every time I would go down and visit Dale, he'd say, Pastor, thank you for bringing me the sacrament. He said, I'll see you in church on Sunday. And knowing medical things that happen, I said, Dale, just take it easy, do what the doctor says. And he looked at me and he said, Pastor, I'll be in church on Sunday. That man never missed church when he was at home. He knew the forgiving love of God, that even though he left the church, that he left God, he turned his back on God. God did not turn his back on Dale. We are in a similar situation. There are times when we have turned away from God. I was confirmed at age 14 in the Episcopal Church. My parents said to me, "Scott, now that you're confirmed, you can make your own decision whether you go to church or not." So guess what? A teenager is told, "You don't have to go to church." Oh, thank you, Lord. I'm free. I'm free as a bird. I didn't go to church. It took a long time for me to go back to church. Pastors changed. And I remember the one pastor I saw in the hospital as I was cleaning rugs, because I was a janitor. He said, "Scott, haven't seen you in church." I said, "I've been working 3 Sundays out of 4. And so I've been relaxing. We'd like to see you in church." His son sang at our wedding. God had a hand in my life in bringing me back to church to hear his wonderful word of grace and forgiveness. And you see, that's what God does in our lives. God knows all of our sins. He knows what we have done wrong, but he still loves us. He loved us so much that he gave Jesus into death so that we would be forgiven and assured of eternal life. This is what our loving God does. He doesn't turn us away. He comes to us. He comes to us in his word and says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." He tells us in his word, "Do not fear, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." He tells us in his word that we are his children, that he will be with us no matter what. And here this parable is given to us today to make us realize that we have a loving Father. This loving Father comes to us to forgive us all of our sins, to raise us up, and to encourage us. There was an extensive search one year for a 6-year-old lost boy in California. And after 5 days, the search happened upon the boy, barely alive. But the two teenaged boys who found the 6-year-old boy barely alive brought him home. And his father jumped up with joy to receive his child who he thought was lost and gone. You see, that's what God does with us. He thinks, he knows that we're lost. We're lost in our sin. And he comes to us. He comes to us in his son Jesus and forgives each and every one of our sins and pulls us to himself and tells us he will never leave us nor forsake us, and that all of our sins are forgiven. In Christ's holy name, amen.